you know, we need to be reminded on a regular basis just how good God is. Because you know what? We have a tendency to take advantage, or take for granted, I'm sorry. Take for granted His goodness, don't we? Oh, this is something good happening in my life. And yet we sometimes forget to say, God, thank you. You orchestrated that. Because I'm going to tell you, here's what we fail to realize. God had something to do with the stuff that was negative in your life too. I know that sounds like an oxymoron. God orchestrated some of that. Yeah. He had something to do with it. He didn't bring the evil about. It was about decisions somebody else usually made, or we've made, but He knew it was going to happen. That's why the Bible says He works all things together to the good of those who love Him. I don't know about you, but the more I know God, the more I love Him. But here's the question. How do we get to know God? Well, Pastor, get in the Bible and read the Bible. You'll know God. No, you won't. I know people that can quote nearly two-thirds of the Bible verbatim and not miss a period or a comma, and they still don't know God. A man once told me that his father-in-law had literally memorized over half the Bible, and he could quote it to you without blinking an eye. But yet when he was dying, he didn't know God, because he begged his son-in-law to take his .44 and shoot him because he was in pain. He didn't know God. He didn't know that God didn't want him in pain. See, we can't know a legalistic God. That would be like for me to say, I know Carol Shelby. I've got his signature. So I must know Carol Shelby. I've got his written word. I know nothing about Carol Shelby, except that when it came to cars, he knew how to make them go fast. Only those who got close to Carol knew Carol Shelby. Do you know how you get to know somebody? You go through stuff with them. That is why even today you will see that unfortunately they are dying at such an alarming rate, but World War II veterans, those that have gone through things together, the men who were in fighting holes next to each other and watched each other die, and they survived, you will not find any greater bond, even though they may not have seen each other for 60 or 70 years. You bring them together, and it's just as if they never left. They got to know each other. Why? Because they had to put their life into that person's hand. You want to know somebody, you need to put your life in somebody else's hands. That's why I'm particular on who gets close. Everybody wants to get close, but not everybody's got your best interests at heart, do they? I'm not saying that you don't have to be around people. I'm just saying who's getting close to you. The more that we spend time getting to know God, the more we realize just how little we knew Him. One of the things Phil and I were talking, it's amazing how you can start on one subject, and in a matter of a few short minutes, you have covered 10 or 12 subjects. It's just boom, 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 boom. But how each one of us views God a little differently. There are aspects of God that we're all drawn to. I tend to draw towards the military, the combat, the war. My wife, she tends to be more like Cananiah, who led the praise and worship for the high priests. She understands God maybe more in the praise. Some of you may understand God more in a God of order. Things have to be just so. But yet we're talking about the exact same God. I understand there has to be order. Our bodies were created in an order. You know how we know this? Because anytime that a body part is formed on the outside of a body, they call it a defect. In other words, it's not the norm. It was deformed. God created for your heart to develop inside the chest. And yet, smart men, very intelligent men, I'm not going to say they're stupid. They're morons. They can tell you how to get to the moon and back, but they can't. They will get there and they will stand there and they will tell you that you happened by an accident. See, accidents are problems. But I sit around here and I look and I see men and women who started out the exact same way. A cell that you couldn't see, an egg, and a sperm that you can't see came together in an astronomical finding in and of itself. And that union began life. And a body began to form. Looked a little alien at first. Can't deny that. Every time we got an ultrasound of Joshua, the first one I've got, it looks like the head off of Journey's albums. You sure that's a child? Go looking for Marvin the Martian here. But then eventually, you know, there's a heart, that heartbeat. And if you've never had the opportunity to hear a baby's heartbeat, if you've got a grandchild and they're going to do an ultrasound, go if you can get there and hear that heartbeat. It's amazing. And yet God ordered the form inside that chest. See, that's a great God we serve. So God is a God of order. God is the man of war. He is so multifaceted, it would astonish us. There's probably aspects of God we've never even seen yet. But you know what? We won't know them if we don't draw near to Him. Well, I draw near reading the Word. Well, that's fine, but that's still not knowing somebody. Because I promise you, if you read everything ever that may be written about me, you're probably going to be believing a lot of lies. But you're not going to ever know me. Just like I will never know you. If you believe everything you find written about a girl on a bathroom wall, come on, any guy in here knows what I'm talking about. And I've never actually been to those bathroom stalls in the women's rooms. I'm not opposed to using the women's stall. If it's a single, I'll lock the door. Men have a tendency to take too long in the men's room. Pastor, you use the women's room? It's a bathroom, for crying out loud. I'll use a log if I can find one. But God has been revealing Himself more and more to me. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's still a part of me that's just like, no, 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 no. That's just ruining what I've spent all these years fabricating in my mind. That this is the only way I can know you. But you see, the things that we do reveal a God we didn't know. And it's the God we need to know. When we become religious, we can only see God in one aspect. Now, I'm going to stipulate this right here. Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Okay? However, Pentecostalism is not the only way to God. Methodism is not the only way to God. Lutheranism is not the only way to God. Hinduism is not a way to God. Jesus Christ is not there. Baha'i is not a way to God. Transcendental meditation is not a way to God. It's a way to demonic powers. And people need to be watching what they're playing with. But I have been learning more and more about God. As I've explained and shared over the last couple weeks, things haven't always been real pleasant the last couple months in my life due to a decision I made to do something right. Anybody ever do that? You do something right because it's right. And as the saying goes, no good deed ever goes unpunished. And in all of that, the man of war rises up. And everything in me wanted to hurt some particular individuals. Oh, you don't need to be preaching, Pastor. You don't know God. You want to hurt somebody. Listen. Somebody comes up and attacks you, stabs you in the back and lies to your face, and you don't want to rip their lungs out and beat them about the head and upper thorax. Do not sit there and judge me. Because I've seen people, here's the hilarious part, people don't pay attention to who's in the traffic with them. I've seen believers flip people off. And they were the ones in the wrong. And anyhow, but God has been working in me so much more, trying to understand Him, drawing closer to Him. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's, for me, it's a whole shaking. Because He's still the mighty man of war. But the reason I associated more with that was because I wanted to be the mighty man of war. Maybe you want to be Kenaniah. Maybe you want to be Moses, the lawgiver. Maybe that's what you're associating with. One thing, like I said, we got onto all kinds of things real quick. One thing, Phil and I said, I don't want to be Peter. I don't want to be Paul. I don't want to be Moses or even Joshua. While they did some great ass things in the world, that is fine and dandy. They were who they were. I want to be like Jesus Christ. I'm called a Christian, am I not? I'm not called a Pauline. See, that became a big problem. If you haven't paid attention to the New Testament, you're missing some great things. There were schisms going on then. Well, I'm of Barnabas. I'm of Paul. They started associating with the apostle instead of Jesus Christ. Guess what? We haven't done any different today. I'll be honest with you. There's some things that I'm sure there were things that Barnabas wrote. And to this day, many scholars and theologians will tell you Barnabas should have been the other apostle. They should never have drawn lots to find out who was to be the next apostle. It should have been Barnabas. Who did God send Paul to? He sent, or that was Ananias, but a different Ananias. But he sent, Barnabas had something to do more with Paul, but he should have been the next apostle. And I think the reason why is because the Apostle Paul associated with the rigors of the law, even though he taught the most on grace, if you read, you will still see there are so many things that were still control. The Apostle Paul loved control. There is no doubt about that. He was a great, mighty man of God. Do not get me wrong. I'm not here to tear him down. You are a great and mighty man or woman of God in your own right. But you see, when we only associate with one thing, God had to start changing Paul. And he had to start understanding more about the grace. But there were things he refused to let go and understand. I can't control. And I think that's what kills so many churches. Now, it kills them because people don't want to be controlled. But here's the other flip side of that coin. People are scared to death of freedom. They are scared to death of being free. Do you want to know why our quote-unquote wars for freedom will never win? Because the people we fight for don't want freedom. They don't want it. Do you know how I know? They would rise up and fight it. Oh, ISIS is so evil. No, the lazy people not fighting ISIS in their own country are evil. They need to fight for it. The United States did not have very many friends when it was fighting for its own independence. Yeah, I know France came over and they helped us out a little bit. You do know France was just playing a game just like the United States does. Oh, we'll come over here. How about you give us this? And then we would later end up having to squabble with them. But they are afraid of freedom. And you know what? That's the very thing Jesus came to bring us, was freedom. But the scribes and the Pharisees didn't like it, did they? They didn't like the fact that Jesus was bringing freedom. Walk through the grain wheat field, pulling weed off and eating it as you go on a Sabbath. Well, you do got to eat, right? And these guys were traveling ministers, so they didn't have a home to prepare meals for every week. They were going all over Israel. But even the disciples got caught only seeing one side of God. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, let's go to verse 53. It says, but they did not receive him. This is a village of Samaria, of the Samaritans. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? We, as the body of Christ, really have a warped sense of God. We rejoice at judgment. We rejoice when things go wrong in other people's lives because they did us wrong. I don't rejoice in it. It's going to come. Do you understand? The people that have allied themselves against me, I do not rejoice in their destruction, but it is coming. But these disciples only understood the God of judgment. Why? Because all they knew was written. That's all they knew. What was written down and told. They didn't ever develop the time with God. And to be honest with you, I think at that time in life, anybody could have. Because you need to understand something. All we have on record about God and people, man is right here. But if you read the book of Job, you need to understand first one thing about Job himself. Job was not a Jew. Job was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. Before Jesus Christ, he knew God. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, was not a Jew. Even though he wasn't a line of Abraham through Keturah, Abraham's second wife. There were other people that knew about God. God chose this particular bloodline for a reason. But there's been people that knew God. At any time, people could have gotten to know God. But they chose to just ignore the calling, to ignore God's voice, the time with him. And they said, we only want to know you through a book. Again, I'm not saying don't read your Bible. I'm saying read your Bible and then go get to know the God who it's talking about. Okay? Now, so they said, do you want us to call down fire like Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. He simply went on to another village. He simply went on. The disciples were so offended, they wanted to call down fire and destroy people. And Jesus just walked away, knowing that anything he may have done was a seed, and that maybe that seed would take root. One of the things Phil and I talked about was when there are men and women of God who fall from our graces, we crucify them and burn them at the cross. Instead of the mercy that God says. And by the way, I'm not just talking about men and women who preach from the pulpit. I'm talking about people all around us. Instead of praying for them and continuing to show them the love. Doesn't mean, yeah, sometimes it means you're probably not going to be best buds anymore. But it does not mean that you have to despise them. Jesus said you don't know the Spirit. In other words, you don't know God. That is not God's heart, but yet that's what we want to see, isn't it? That is why sinners in the hands of an angry God, the message was done nearly 200 years ago, and yet today it is the most common theme in the church. God will get you for that. God's going to get you. He's going to get you. No, your sin will get you. The Bible says, be sure to know, your sin will find you out. There's a price. You don't get to walk in sin scot-free. Now, since they brought up Elijah, let's go to that incident. Okay, that is in 1 Kings 19. But I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm not going to read any of the incident there because that's not what I want to focus on. I want to focus on something God said to Elijah. Elijah confronts the king of Israel about his idolatry. Now, I need you to understand something first and foremost. Not everybody is anointed nor called to confront certain things with certain people. But yet, unfortunately, there's so many believers still running around today thinking they're called to condemn and tell everybody that they're sinning. I watched something the other day, and I want you to understand what he was saying was the truth. It just sickens me, to be honest with you, what people, how ignorant, I'm going to say that, I just said it out loud, how ignorant Christians are of the Word of God. Okay? Somebody started sharing some things, I don't remember who it was, about Joel Osteen. Okay? about how he says that there are other ways to heaven. First off, I want to tell you, I watched the entire that clip, and I need to tell you, he never said that. He said, it's not my job to judge you in sin. That is not a Christian's job. That is the Holy Spirit's job to convict the world. The world means everybody in it. Not Jew or Gentile only, the whole world. It's God's job to convict our hearts of sin. Why? Because there are some things that are just sin. Go to the Ten Commandments if you need to get a... I believe that is the basis of all law. But you need to understand something. To a Jew wearing, a practicing Jew, wearing a pair of pants that maybe you've walked on like mine, they're just a little longer. Thank God I got these little short legs, so I walk on my pants. But you get frays. That is a sin. To me, it's not. I think it looks cool. But to one person who's taking their body and they're forming it and they're working hard and they know what the effects of junk food does, to them, eating a Twinkie is a sin. Which, by the way, if you've gotten any of the new ones, they are a sin. They're awful. They are, something changed. That would be a sin. But to me, I'm not sweating it. I don't eat Twinkies by the box. And especially if they taste like that now, I'm not going to eat any anymore anyhow. So are you following me? What might be a sin to one for one reason or another isn't a sin for another person. My pastor in North Carolina, he struggled with his weight. He was a tall man and a big man. And he was trying to lose weight. I mean, they got those diet pills, and man, they even got, they're like, oh, we got to try these things, these energy pills, man. I got them like, you know, I'm like, first off, I don't need to lose the weight. I'm like 130 pounds. I don't need to lose any more fat. A cannibal wouldn't even want me. I'd be too tough. And so anyhow, they tried everything to lose weight, and he knew one thing. His weakness was cheesecake. He loved cheesecake. We're not talking pour it out of the box, mix it up, and pour it in the pan cheesecake. We're talking real cheesecake. And if you don't know the difference, I encourage you to find out. Can you tell I missed breakfast? Thank God we got food next door. So anyhow, he said, for me, eating cheesecake is a sin. For you, it might not be. Are you following me? Now, there's things in the Bible, like I said, if we want to live by any kind of law, go to Exodus 20 and read that law. That's the Ten Commandments. Everything is established on those. But there's two that are mentioned, actually, and I believe it's in Deuteronomy. Jesus quoted them later. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, body, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And you will fulfill all the law. Okay. But we got so many people today, they want to live by every little jot and tittle of law. Oh, well, how should you put your hand in your pocket? Or shouldn't you have your hand in your pocket? Or how should you carry this or not carry this? I mean, we've gotten so stupid. It's why there are still laws on the books in this country, the state. You cannot walk on a Sunday with an ice cream cone in your pocket. Who thought that would be a good idea to begin with? That's just one of the more common ones that I've heard, and that goes around. But there's also this other one back in the day, folks. You need to understand the mentality. How many of you, and I've brought this up before, how many of you know what the rule of thumb is? You couldn't beat your wife with a stick bigger than your thumb. I bet Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings' wife wouldn't have went for that. One went for a ball bat and the other with a frying pan. By the way, that was the most moral. My wife is my wife, not my possession. So anyhow, Elijah goes through. He calls the king. He challenges all of his prophets of Baal, 400 prophets. He challenges them. They can't, all day long, they cannot get fire to come down. Finally, Elijah says, enough is enough, guys. Let's stop the garbage. He says, hey, dig me a trench. I want barrels of water brought in and dumped over this. They soaked the altar. They soaked the sacrifice. They filled the ditch full of water. Elijah stands back. He says, okay, God, you are the God of heaven. This is your time to shine. Not only did it consume the offering, it consumed the rocks. It consumed the water, the dust. It left a hole. And the people stood around and said, surely the Lord God, He is God. Elijah has all the prophets killed. And he tells Ahab, it's going to rain. You need to go back. Okay? However, in Jezreel, Jezebel found out what Elijah had done and sent word to Elijah saying, the gods do more to me if not by tomorrow at this time, you are dead. Well, what did the mighty man of God do? I mean, he just called down fire from heaven, right? That's what he did. He took off running about 20 miles to be exact. Said he went a day's journey. Well, he actually went to Beersheba, which by car is about 2 hours of driving. Okay. He went to Beersheba. I'm sorry, it was 3 days journey is what he did. Beersheba is three days journey from Jezreel. 3 days he boogied. And then when he got to Jezreel, he told his servant, he said, you stay here. And he went another day. So it's another 20 miles, roughly. And he's out there, and God sets him up with some food. He eats, he drinks, he goes to sleep. God wakes him up and says, here's some more food. You're going to need it for your next journey. And this is all you're going to get. And for 40 days and nights, it says that he traveled. Now, I don't believe he traveled all through the night because he went to Mount Hebron, which is also known as Mount Sinai. Now, if you go with the Mount Sinai that is traditionally taught in the Bible, that is roughly 400 miles away. However, based upon their average of 20 miles per day in a travel, that would put this for 40 days a little over 800 miles away. So he went twice as far as what tradition teaches us. However, facts and finding artifacts and things of that nature put 875 miles away from that area the Mount Sinai that has been discovered in Saudi Arabia. That more people are actually starting to believe. That's where he went. God has moved that man 800 more miles beyond that. And while he's there, he's in a cave and God comes down and says, Elijah, what are you doing here? Elijah says, I've been zealous for you, Lord. I'm the only one in all of my country who serves you. Okay, let's stop for just a second. How many times do we feel like that? Lord, I'm the only one in this godforsaken county. I'm the only one in my family. Don't we feel like that? That's what Elijah started doing. But God understood Elijah too. He didn't bring judgment on Elijah, but he needed to get something through to Elijah. So God says, come out here. Verse 11 of 19. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. Talk about your windstorm, folks. That's some wind to break rocks apart. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Surely God is in the fire, right? But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. That literally means a delicate, whispering voice. Elijah was looking for the God of judgment. Come kill Ahab and Jezebel right now, Lord. I'm the only one loving you. I'm the only one who loves you. You know what God told me? I was awake the other night and God started speaking to me. He said, I wasn't in the wind. I wasn't in the fire. I was in the calm. I was in the peace. Do you know what I've learned in the last couple months? I've looked for God in the judgment. I've looked for God in the wind and the fire and the earthquake to bring judgment on my enemies. And he said, I'm not there. I have found such a peace the last 3 or 4 weeks now. I told Angel, I said, I can't explain it to anybody. God gives me dreams, tells me not to touch this person, because in the dream I was picking them up by their neck. And the funny thing is in the dream I knew it was the Spirit of God saying, he said, do not touch him. Oh, but Lord, just a little touch, right? Just a little touch won't hurt. And then I get more accusations in the dreams, and I'm thinking, day after day I'm waking up to this. But I'm like, I've got total peace. I said, I can't explain this. I said, because right now I know what I should do as a man, just as a flesh and blood, let's flesh out man. Go snatch him bald-headed. But that's not what God wants. God wants me to know him greater. And I have come to find God greater in the peace than as the man of war who comes in and blows rocks apart with his breath. Or who shakes the earth at his presence. Or ignites the ground with his stare. I've come to know the still, small voice that says, are you going to trust me? See, that's the God we need to find. That's the God that will see us through. We want to look at things going on in the world. We want to blame a man. You know what? Fine. Blame Obama. I don't care. Find your scapegoat and keep blaming him. But the truth of the matter is, God orchestrated it all. Do you want to know why the United States isn't the powerhouse right now? Because God wants Israel to find the still, small voice. It's easy to be the little dog in the pack when, you know, the big dog's your friend. The big dog that's got nukes and the world's fastest jets and bombers that people still haven't found yet because we can't detect them. It's easy to do that, but when that friend is brought to their knees and can't help you, you have to rely on the still, small voice of God. Do you know why we don't see anything about the United States in the book of Revelation? Because we're not there. God took us out of that picture to glorify himself and to show the world that he is God. I want you to find the God of peace. That is a God we can all see and experience and understand. And when I say understand, I mean you're going to grow into it because there's still parts of me that are going, okay, Lord, I'm tilt here. I need some help. We used to sing this song, "If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle, victory, oh victory is mine." If I hold my peace. Sometimes that means keeping your mouth shut. 9 times out of 10, it means keeping your mouth shut. But it also means holding on to that God of peace and saying, you know what, I don't care what's coming. My life is not wrapped up in things. Even the Word tells us, I believe it's Proverbs, in all you're getting, get understanding. Understanding is a knowing that goes beyond, hey, I know Phil. But I don't know Phil the way his wife knows him. Or his children know him. They've had to endure years of him. You knew it was going to come, right? We as men, as fathers, we will do things in front of our own family, our own children, that we wouldn't dare do in front of anybody else. Well, you're two different people? Well, of course, we all are. I mean, come on. God is calling his people to a new walk in peace, not war. That is why the disciples missed it. He said, you don't know the Spirit. We are supposed to be of the same Spirit of Jesus Christ, not of the Apostle Paul, not of Peter, not of John. And honestly, I have to think that John, out of all of them, understood it a little more. And that might be why the Word says the disciple that Jesus loved. Do you know why? Because he understood him. He understood that Jesus didn't come down here to bring judgment on people and destruction. He came down to provide a way for them to get out of that. If we will take the lessons that we've watched in here, everything in here is for us as an example. Well, bless God, I do whatever the Bible says. There are certain things in the Bible you shouldn't do. Well, you know, this man was a godly man. Yeah, David was a godly man. He also had his best friend killed and took his wife. Took his wife and then had his friend killed. Yeah, let's do what happened in the Bible. It's as an example for us. That was its point. But we got so many people today, oh, God sends in warriors and we're going to be onward Christian warriors. Obviously, I understand the whole combat thing. But I also understand this more than anything. Now, God wants peace. What did the angels declare the night of Jesus' birth? Peace on earth. They didn't stay up there and say, all right, y'all going to be all become Christians, and when people don't agree with you and they don't convert, kill them. That's exactly what the church did. And you know this. What do they call that time period in history? The Dark Ages. Because the Word of God was not being revealed. David said, your Word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. Light being a more direct focus for our individual lives, a lamp being the general. Are you getting that? This light shines most right in front of ourselves, but it shines out to everybody else as a beacon of hope. But yet we said, you don't agree with me, I don't agree with you, last man standing wins. Since when was that ever in the Bible? It's what happens when you don't understand the God you serve, but you want to know him through a book, you want to know him through laws. That's why I despise religion. And God told me back there, he said, people fear freedom. Phil and I were talking about this. We may never be the biggest church, but we will be the freest. People fear freedom. Oh, no. That is why you've probably... I forgot all about these things, but there were people and there were commentators that during the wars, starting in Vietnam and whatnot, better read than dead. One news commentator said, I'd rather be alive and on my knees than standing and dying. They fear freedom. They would rather live in the bonds of depression and everything else that comes with legalism than they would in freedom. This is why people cannot, they have such a hard time understanding, where does your peace come from? I can't explain it. You got to go get it yourself. I would love to give it to you guys right now. I'd love to say, here's the key to peace. You're going to have to find it yourself. You know how I got there? Betrayal, lies, backstabbing. That's just a family. But I will encourage you, listen to the Holy Spirit. You ain't supposed to get involved in everything. And if God doesn't, I now know what God meant for me to do this. Because I'll share some other things later about what God's showing and back it in the Word. So, I want you to understand, God is not in the fire. He's not in the earthquake, and he's not in the wind. He's in the peace. You find the peace, you find God. It's not sitting with your legs crossed funny and your fingers go, There's no peace in that. All you're going to do getting to that is invite demons to start talking to you. It's just like any drug. You want to meditate on something? Meditate on the Word of God. What does it? Meditate what David said. Your Word is a light unto my feet. What does that mean, Lord? Take that little bit. I don't care if it takes you 6 months to get that revelation of what that means for you. We've got it shoved down our throats that, well, you need to know everything about the Bible right off the bat. Boom, boom. Phil and I were talking. The Bible says that there's going to be an increase in knowledge. Do you realize at the beginning of the 1900s, they said there's no need for any more patents. Everything that can be created has been created. Less than 70 years later, we land a man on the moon. 30 years later, we're walking around with cell phones. Everybody. Another 5 or 10 years later, we've got more technology in our cell phone than it took to send that man to the moon. Wow. Do you think the Word of God is any less susceptible for the revelation? We came through the Dark Ages. What was it, like 1,500 years? It was a long time. Which nobody knew the Word. And those that did twisted it to control the people. And then when we finally do start getting the Word written, we have a maniacal king who has it written so that it's a poem. And now today we've got people, I thank God he did it. I would have preferred he actually went and got some real Greeks and Hebrews to help him interpret it. Because there's words that don't mean what they've put them in there, but everybody's afraid to challenge it because it's the King James. Well, by the way, there's a Bible that was written before King James ever got hold of it called the Geneva Bible. But anyhow, today you got people that won't even challenge it, even though it's like, wait a minute, what? That don't make sense. Get in there and find out what the Greek word was or the Hebrew word was, and it'll make sense. Study it. But there's things we're coming alive in the Bible today. Of course it didn't make any sense to John when he's sitting there writing on the Isle of Patmos and he saw these giant locust thingies with golden faces of men. Of course it made no sense to him. He didn't know what an attack copter was. Whether it makes perfect sense to me, they're shaped like a locust. And if you're in particularly a Cobra helicopter, you're looking right at the pilot, and guess what color the shield is when they start firing weapons? It's gold. He starts talking about things, a beast, so what do? We make up all these great movies about monsters coming out of the water. It's great for imagery. I remember in high school making a poster for Christians in Action, our little group over in Fredericktown, and I used the album cover from Saint called Time's End, in which it's got these beasts coming out of the water, and I drew it over onto a poster board and had a guy standing there saying, I wish I'd have gone to CIA now, which was Christians in Action. Got people's attention. Boy, people love that. Problem is, nobody on the inside of Christians in Action had any clue what was going on. The Christian organization, I'm thinking, you're a Christian? You're a Christian. You cussed me out yesterday. Boy, it's amazing how religious people can get. Yeah. Let's stand. But I felt I had to share this with you about the peace, folks. We are in the most tumultuous time that anybody on the planet can remember. There's such uncertainty. Everybody's afraid of ISIS. Yeah, they're afraid because they won't do anything about it. We've got ISIS in America. Oh, no, we don't. You want to bet the largest, you know this, the largest Muslim population is in Detroit, Michigan, 2.5 hours due north. Are you scared yet? Why? If you're scared, it means you fear death. I don't fear death. I have not feared death since 1991 when I got married. No. I'm sorry. I just couldn't resist that. No, since 1990. I might just fear death later. Since 1990. Do I fear what they're going to do to my children? No. You know why? My children's hope is not in their daddy coming saving them. Their hope is in Christ. Somebody kills my family, they kill my family. You, by the way, don't forget the head. Take the head with you. Am I going to do what I can to stop it? Well, duh. Of course I am. I don't have guns just to go out and shoot innocent little vegetarian animals so I can eat them. It's what kept this country free. And by the way, it was squirrel guns that bought our freedom in this country. It was your average, everyday, run-of-the-mill, redneck farmer, cobbler, carpenter. They didn't have windshields then, Rob. Barely had glass. It was just people who said, we'll fight. Well, Pastor, do we need to stand up and fight now? No. No, we don't know the spirit we're of. We need to let God fight it. That's why the Bible told us to pray. You need to pray like it depends on you and trust God. And don't lose your peace. You know, I can tell you the little, my information on what's going on other than blips that I pick up is about this big. There's some of you can probably list off every skirmish that's going on in the world, every little thing that ISIS is doing, how their strength is in Syria and Iraq and all. I don't know and I don't care. I serve Jehovah. The God who says, come on out, Pharaoh. Moses took your slaves. Come on out in the water. The water's fine. See, it's dry, Moses. And Pharaoh, come on, come after him. Come on. Do you realize that's what God was doing? They had gone, no man in his right mind is going to follow a bunch of slaves across water that has stood up and has dried out. No military man is going to do that. But God, I believe, was standing in there. Come on. Come on. A little bit further, guys. Come on. There go your slaves. They made a mockery of you, prideful things. Come on. They got out there, and the Bible said God undid the lug nuts. He undid the lug nuts on their axles, and the wheels started falling off, and they're like, what are we doing? The Lord God, he fights for Israel. But it was too late. It said the water began collapsing in on them, and it collapsed from their way of retreat, and it blew weapons and shields and things up onto the other shore. You know how I know? Because they're finding weapons and shields up on the other shore now. Although Saudi Arabia and all the Muslim countries don't want the Christian world to know that, that Israel is telling the truth. Go figure. Anyhow, we got war on the floor following this. We're going to go have fellowship. Man, I'll tell you what, go in there. I thought about taking a taste test before I came over, but I chose against it. I didn't have enough time is what it was. I look out there and there's a row of crock pots. It's like, holy smoke. We are a crockpot-rich congregation. I will tell you that. Hallelujah. But I will bless the food. Again, I ask that you let the elders of our congregation go first. Again, it's a way we show honor in that way to those. And if you see somebody who's struggling, trying to give them a hand. It doesn't hurt. I mean, let's quit being self-centered. I will come through. Phil's fighting me for last place. He may not today, though, I think. Look on his eyes. But just know, you serve the God of peace. Yeah, he's a mighty man of war, but he's also the God of peace, and that's what he came to give us. Don't worry about what's going on. Put your children in God's hands. Last week, it was Jesse played North Union. He'd gotten hurt. He got hit pretty hard by a couple bigger North Union players, and he came down on his arm wrong. And he was just all messed up. They were icing it. He said it felt like it had broke. And I'm thinking, we're sitting there. There's Jesse sitting there on the bench and got his arm on ice. And one of the other mothers looked up and said, how can you be so calm? She said, if that was my boy, I would be a hysterical mess right now. And Angela sits down and talks to her a little bit about it, but I was going to say, when you've had to watch him, on life support, he's in God's hands. There ain't a thing I can do for him. I can't worry about him. I can't worry about my son's going to Columbus. I can't worry about him going across the country. I can't worry. There's not a thing I can do but put him in God's hands and hold the peace. Turns out he just hyperextended it a little bit because he came down on it like that. Got up, went back out, and made a few of the players pay for what they did. I ain't going to say I'm total peace in everything. I don't want him to hurt anybody. Just don't take the beating for no purpose. They hit you hard, you hit them harder. But you can't worry about anything. They're in God's hands. And if God can't protect them, what on earth are you going to do? Yeah, let's pray. Father God, we truly do thank you. Father, that you sent Jesus, and at the heralding of his birth, Lord, you declared peace on this earth and goodwill towards all men. Lord, I pray that you help us all to come to grips with that peace, especially in light of the world that we are living in right now, Father, where even our basic faith, even in this country, the land of the free, is being threatened every day. Lord, we will not surrender our peace. Father, I thank you that you're helping us all to grow and to walk and to come to find that still small voice that it may speak to us in the times of whirlwinds, earthquakes, and fires. Now, Lord, I bless